Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, how we rejoice that you are able. We ask, Father, that you would especially move in the power of the Holy Spirit to remind us of that. And even those who may be among us who don't know Christ, that they may know that he is able to save to the uttermost. Lord, we pray that you would so work. We're not worthy of the least of your mercies, but we'd pray for your name's sake that we would be reminded and empowered to realize that you are able. You alone are able to do certain things, and we know that really without you we can do nothing. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we would preach, Lord, to make me a vessel fit for your use. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. May Christ be exalted. May he increase and I decrease. Lord, may us all decrease as Christ is exalted. We ask, Father, that you would so work that Christ would be so exalted that there would be people drawn unto him as we would preach the word of God, the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. We pray now that you would prepare our hearts now as we would enter into this service and as we would examine and hear your word. For we pray in the name above every name, the name of the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is able. This is often referred to as one of Paul's doxologies, a praise to God. And anytime we have praise, we in essence have a prayer. And this is what Paul is doing. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the word able here is in the present tense. In other words, he's always able. And in the active voice, he is actively able. He's not just passively able and he doesn't perform what he's able to do. But he does whatsoever he desires to do. He has power by virtue of his own ability in his own person. He has power because he has it all within himself. The resources are all within him. He's able. He's capable. He is strong. He is powerful. He is the omnipotent God. A lot of people in the world today, I mean, you by way of the media, you can see some amazing things that people can do. They're able to do some amazing things. I mean, just read a little bit in the Guinness Book of World Records and it's like, wow, it's amazing what people can do. But, you know, people can't do anything were it not be of the fact that God created them in the first place and gave them the ability that they got. And that's only for a very little period of time because we all must leave this world. Because people are not able to do what is that they can't keep themselves from dying physically. They cannot keep themselves from sinning. They cannot save themselves because the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So many confidently boast of being able to do things. They're like the one mentioned there in Luke, Jesus mentions there in Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, that all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. We may have good intentions. We might make a little bit of progress. But only God can finish every work that he has set out to do. He is able to accomplish that which he has started in our life as believers. It's not based on my ability or your ability. It's based on God's ability. We have a disability. And we are disabled. We're able to do what needs to be done in salvation and in service because of God's ability. The fact that God is able to pay the cost like that builder and finishes what he begins with his people. That inspires me as a child of God. Doesn't it you? That God is going to finish what he started? That he is able to do that? And we need to live a life that demonstrates that. Moses was concerned because the people were not living by faith like they're supposed to. And so he says in Numbers 14:16, because he mentions what the heathen might do. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, but therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. People think, well, God's not able. Not able to do things through these people. God is able. And for the sake of his glory, we need to show it. We need to demonstrate it by relying upon him. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. We see the same thing there in Deuteronomy 9:8-28. Let the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which they promised, because he hated them, he had brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. God is able. And may we not give a reason for the world to think that God is not able because of the way we live. But knowing that God is able gives us hope. When it looks hopeless, things may look rough, but when you're looking out from the lion's den, you need to believe, you need to say, God is able. We'll look at seven things we want to hurry on about God being able. First of all, God is able to abase. God's able to humble. God humbles people. And even the most prideful people. Even the most powerful people. Just like one of the most prideful people that ever was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a proud man and he demanded that they worship these idols. This golden statue was probably to represent him. As we remember the dream, the head of gold was him and so on and so forth. It was not uncommon for emperors demand to be worshipped, just like we see that in North Korea. That same kind of thing. That same kind of thing is prevalent even in our day. But he was demanding that people worship when the music started or they're going to be thrown in the furnace of fire. There in Daniel chapter 3. Now, we may think that how in the world could Nebuchadnezzar have done that? Because we find there in he said in Daniel chapter 2, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and revealer of secrets. When Daniel interpreted that dream the way that he did, none of the wise men and soothsayers and all those guys who were the religious leaders in that kingdom, they couldn't figure it out. Well, we got to remember something. Nebuchadnezzar never stopped being an idolater. He was still a polytheist. at that point. And something we need to remember, that an encounter with God's truth doesn't always make somebody a Christian. Strong convictions often come short of a sound conversion. Many have owned the absurdity and the danger of sin, and yet they've gone on in sin. It's never changed their life. They've seen it. They've reasoned in their minds. Even the carnal mind can figure that out. But they never repent. They never had a new heart. That's what makes the difference. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar 3 times was confronted with the awesome power of God. But it was not until God broke him. It wasn't until God humbled him. It wasn't until God abased him that he began to see that he needed to renounce his idolatry. And so we see in Daniel chapter 4, after God humbled him and made him like the beast of the field, notice what he says in verse 37 of Daniel 4. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose words are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He recognized that. He's talking about himself. God abases people. Every time people die, people are being abased. People are being humbled. When God says it's time to die and they can't do anything about it and they're going to die no matter what, they can't do anything about it, God is abasing them. They wake up to reality of who's really on the throne. Who's the one that's in control? God is able to abase. But on the positive note, I believe God saved Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the beginning. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you humble yourself like a little child. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognize you deserve to split hell wide open because of your sin. Recognize that you are worthy of being a child of the devil and deserve to go to hell forever. But praise God, He doesn't stop there when He saves sinners. He shows us Christ lifted up. We're abased, but Christ is lifted up. You have to be humbled. And when that happens, you cry out for mercy through Christ's work on the cross. So God's able. God's able to abase the rulers in this world. Just like He did King Nebuchadnezzar to salvation. And just like He did to Herod in damnation. That's the real basement when you're cast into the lowest hell. God is able to abase. Secondly, God is able to save to the uttermost. There in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's talking about Jesus. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. God's able to the uttermost. He is able to finish what He started. He is able to keep that which He committed unto Him against that day until Jesus comes. When God saves your soul, He saves people to the uttermost to the day of Christ's return throughout all eternity. We see that proven to the uttermost. We see it, remember, the rich man and Lazarus. What happened to Lazarus? He was saved to the uttermost. He was saved out of this sin-cursed world and went into being a paradise in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man was cast into hell. He was abased. We see it in the case of others such as Moses and Elijah. We see there on the Mount of Transfiguration. We see that they were still alive. They were saved to the uttermost. God is able to save to the uttermost. But then thirdly, God is able to deliver. Daniel 3:17 says, speaking of what we were referring to before, about the three Hebrew children. And it says, these three Hebrew children says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. We can stand in such a day and in such a time as them, not because we're supermen or Wonder Womans, but because God is able. Because God is able. Remember, these were just teenage boys in all probability. That's it. That was called Paul's experience again and again. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. I can remember in my life that whenever I did the right thing by faith, through God's grace, even though there might have been a conflict or maybe some persecution, it was always used for my good. I can't think of a single time in which when I bow to some idol, which you do every time you sin, to where it ever really was any benefit to me. Remember, Jesus has proven His ability to deliver from worldly affliction, from the furnaces here on this earth, by His willingness to suffer on our behalf so that we may be delivered from so great a death and a furnace that never stops burning. That is hell. That's why David wrote in Psalms 56:11, when he had time of great affliction, he said, in God have I put my trust, and I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. God can deliver. God is able. We find that in the model prayer, that we ask to be delivered from evil, from temptation, to be not led into temptation. Why? Why are we asked to pray these things? Because God's able to deliver you from evil. That's why. And wouldn't we want the omnipotent, all-powerful God to deliver you from evil and to be sure that you'll be delivered? Instead of going to some second-rate answer to whatever problem you're going through. Because He delivers not just for a moment, not just temporarily, but eternally. God delivered them. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look what it says there in Daniel chapter 3, verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent,
and the furnace exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurts on the, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. They were loose. They weren't bound no more. There was somebody else in there. Jesus was there. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whom the body, whose bodies of fire had no power, nor was in hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, for the smell of fire had passed, nor had the smell of fire had passed on them. All these people that hated their guts saw it. They were jealous because they were promoted. But then we find in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice he didn't own God as that God to be his God at this point. Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have, notice they were delivered just like they said that would happen. They were delivered. And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now this is the same king. Who is this God that's going to deliver you? And then he had to admit that God does deliver. Don't forget, God is able to deliver. And God is able to deliver you and me. No matter what kind of fiery trial that you and I might go through, God is able and shall deliver us from all trouble. Look at the context of our text. They're in Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at 13, remember this is a prayer. This is a doxology. It says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at the tribulations, at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, don't faint. Don't be discouraged. Don't be frightened. Don't cower before the enemy. What does he say? First of all, we understand that he wrote this, that he was writing this epistle while he's in prison. Paul was suffering for the cause of Christ. But now, look how triumphant he is, even though he's in prison. You know, that's when God's glory and the ability of God shines through, that even though we might go through difficulty, we still have faith in God, knowing that he is able. Notice, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He submits himself totally to God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He knew that there's difficulty coming. Church at Ephesus had some problems. We see that as Paul wrote Timothy later on. We see that in the book of Revelation when John wrote the church there at Ephesus. But what's he praying? He's praying about this persecution
There's troubles, there's difficulty, there's fightings within and without in our hearts and in churches and outside of churches. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell. What's your answer? To be a prepper? What's your answer? To get a bunch of weapons? What's your answer? Try to go to the government? No, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's what needs to happen. That's how you're going to be able to overcome the enemy. May be able, we're able because God's able. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to what? Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's why Paul can pray the big prayer that he prayed, because he's praying to a big God who's able. And how does he do it? According to the power that worketh in us. Whoa. In us. That power's in us. That ability's in us, because God is in us. It is God working through us. Unto him be glory in the church. It's hard. I think it's going to get harder to be a true and faithful church member. Don't rely on yourself. Don't depend on the world. Don't expect the world's applause. Don't expect it to be easy. But just expect that God is able to deliver you. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God delivered Goliath into the hands of David. God delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. God delivered Peter out of prison. God delivered Paul from being stoned to death. But notice what Paul says there in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He wanted deliverance. And we all do as a child of God. We want to be delivered from this old body, this sinful, sin-cursed body that we got. We want to be delivered. We groan and we moan because we get so tired of the sin, and we get tired of the infirmities. We get tired of being weary and well-doing. But he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we get deliverance, through Jesus. Listen to Paul as death was knocking at his door there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. He says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's going to deliver. He's promised. He's going to deliver us. Ultimately and altogether. God is exceeding abundantly able. Let's don't forget that. When we feel weak, when the going gets rough, God is exceedingly able. He is exceeding abundantly able, more than we could even ask or think or imagine. He's the God of the entire universe. Nothing's too hard for him. God is able to deliver us. But then fourthly, God's able to make us stand. Not just deliver, but to make a stand. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 25. There, the children of Israel, there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you tread upon, as he has said unto you. Why? Because God will. That even the world would fear because they see that God with us. But remember, Herod, he wanted to hear from John, and he feared because he was a just man. He enabled John to stand. He enabled Israel to stand. And the enemies couldn't stand before him. They were not able to withstand the wisdom of Stephen when he preached the word of God there in Acts chapter 8. Because God was with him. God made him to stand.
Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
God's able to make us stand. God's able to make us fall away forever. From falling away forever. Even when we fail in our ignorance or in our actions. We find there Jude, there chapter 1 verse 24 says, now unto him who is able, he commits him to Christ, to unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence. That's what I'm talking about. He's able to present us faultless and to keep us from falling. God was able to make Jonah stand and preach the word after he had backslidden. God was able to get Elijah back on his feet after he was down. God was able to raise up and restore Peter after he denied the Lord 3 times. God was able to restore John Mark back into the ministry. God was able to restore people in this church who have been disciplined. God was able to raise up the packs when COVID hit them. God was able to get Wendell and George back on their feet and stand up. God is able then. He was able then. God is able now, no matter how hard it might get. God's able to make you stand. God's able, doesn't matter how much or how little education you have. It doesn't matter how much money you got or how much money you don't have. It doesn't matter about your genetic makeup. It doesn't matter about whether you're young or old. God is able to make you to stand. Let's quit listening to the devil's excuses. Realize, God, we miss out. We rob ourselves of blessings. I rob myself of blessings. Because I don't realize that God is able. And then fifthly, God is able to raise the dead. Notice there, Hebrews 11:19, talking about Abraham. Accounting that God was able to raise him, talking about Isaac. Even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham realized, when God told him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, from whom the promised seed was going to continue and the Jewish nation would be dependent upon, he knew that God would and God could raise Isaac from the dead. By faith, he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. If so be that he would sacrifice his own son. Because God's going to be true to his promise. See, that word accounted. Abraham accounted that God is able to raise the dead. He thought about it. He meditated upon it. He reckoned it. He calculated it. That the God who created the entire universe, who holds up the planets and the stars by the word of his power, that God is able to raise the dead. And God did. He didn't raise the dead, but what he did is he provided a ram there caught in the thicket. God provided a ram for the sacrifice. Picturing Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who dies and rose again to never die again, so that we would never die again but have everlasting life. Our loved ones who gone be with the Lord shall be raised from the dead, because God is able. When we die in Jesus Christ, we're going to be raised from the dead because God is able to raise the dead. At the rapture, when our bodies are changed, as it were, resurrected, it will be so because God is able to do so. God is able to raise the dead. And then sixthly, God is able to perform. There in Romans chapter 4, I love this chapter there in verse 17, it says, as is written, talking about Abraham again. I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what God told Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and notice, and calleth thee those things which be not, as though they are.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Now we may doubt ourselves. We might doubt other people. And anybody with any sense or intelligence should, based on our infirmities and imperfections. But we have no reason to doubt God. Abraham knew his weaknesses. Abraham knew his infirmities. Abraham knew his imperfections. But he knew God too. It doesn't say Abraham was fully persuaded that Abraham could do all things, but he is fully persuaded that God could do all things. There's a difference. I can't do anything without God. Without Him, I can do nothing. With Him, I live and breathe and have my being. I don't even exist except for Him, and I'm not alive now except for Him. Paul said that when I'm weak, I'm strong. Abraham was fully persuaded. He was fully convinced. He was fully satisfied that what God has promised, He's going to do it. He's able to perform it. We cannot doubt the Creator of the universe. That's ridiculous. The one who gives life, who gives everlasting life, who's the Creator of the universe, the one who died, was buried, and rose again, how can I believe He's not able to perform? That's faith. That was Paul's faith. Paul, as we read a while ago, 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I believe. I know Him, he said. He knew the only God. He knew the true God, the God of creation, the God of grace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Calvary's cross, the God of reconciliation, the God of the Spirit and truth, the God of reconciliation. Not just any God, the God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that we might know Thee, the true and living God. God's able to perform His promises. His promises are precious. But they're not precious just because they sound good, but because God delivers the goods when He promises. God gave His son to Abraham and Isaac when they were past childbearing age. God promised it. God delivered what He promised and gave Isaac to them, and Isaac was born. Should it surprise us that the God, again, who created us, who gives us life and breath in our being, that He should be able to do such things? God's able. God's able to heal the sick. God's able to make the blind to see, to make the deaf to hear, to make the lame to walk, to raise the dead. He's able to save sinners. He's able to the chiefest of sinners, He's able to save. He's able to make them vessels of honor to be used of Him to turn the world upside down. God don't need to kick in with the Supreme Court. God doesn't have to, because He's a supreme judge. God doesn't need to ask permission for what He does, because He's sovereign. He's working all things under the counsel of His own will. God is able because God is sovereign. He's able. But then, lastly, God is able to subdue all things. I've left out many things, but here, this covers it all right here. There in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. I think about temptation. Hebrews 2:18.
For in that he, that is Christ himself, had suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. The same God, Jesus Christ, who overcome the temptations of Satan himself, who threw everything he had at Jesus, and Jesus overcame that temptation. That same God, that same Jesus, can give you grace to overcome your temptations, to overcome your trials, to overcome your troubles for you. He's able to perform that. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. In light of persecution, he's said to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. There was persecution in 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's how you do it. That means God can give you the ability to go out and witness to people. Whether you feel uncomfortable about it, well, you're uncomfortable only because of you. But when you look to God and you draw from God's power, you're able to do it. No fear. We're to do good and fear not. Are we going to be fearful? Or are we going to be faithful? What's it going to be? We have everything we need to overcome the enemy as a child of God according to the power of God. God told Paul there's doors open, but there's many adversaries. There's a door open, but there's many adversaries. But that didn't stop Paul. Paul's a man of like passions like we are. No difference. He's got the same God we got. Jesus Christ is that same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Same God's able. God's able to subdue all things. God's able to subdue marriages that have problems. God's able to subdue problems with children. God's able to subdue problems that are financial. God's able to save sinners. God is able to revive His people. He's able to subdue governments, and He will. And He's able to call preachers into ministry. He's able to work all things together for our good. Those who love God are called according to His purpose. Why? Because we serve the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. He's the God who fulfilled Bible prophecy that was fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. He's the God who's fulfilling Bible prophecy. He's the God who shall fulfill the Bible prophecy written in the Word of God according concerning the end times and the eternal times to come. That means that God is able to send His only begotten Son into the world to save sinners, and He did that. That means that God, the Son, rose from the dead, and He did that according to the Scriptures. And then we find it also, that means that Jesus shall come again. That means that Jesus is going to come with 10,000 of the saints to overcome the Antichrist and His kingdom. That means that Jesus is going to establish His millennial reign upon this earth. That means that Jesus is going to create or make a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. That means there's going to be an eternal age where that's going on and on and on and on because God's able. God's able to do everything but sin. He's able to do things that people don't realize or don't like to think about what He can do. James 4:12 says this. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? God's going to judge you. His Word judges. If you don't have Jesus Christ, the same Almighty God that delivers people from their sins by grace through faith, delivers people into hell because of their unbelief, because of their rebellion and their rejection of the gospel and of His Christ. Don't be so foolish to think that you're going to fight against God and be able to win. That's foolish. Wake up! Wake up!
God have mercy on you. You can pretend and you can block this message out of your mind all you want to. But one day it's going to come back and haunt you. I don't want that for you. One day you ain't going to be able to block it. One day you're going to live in the reality and hell if you never repent and believe on Jesus Christ. God's able to save the worst of sinners. He's able to save the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, so many things. There in Matthew chapter 9, as we close, verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Then he was come into the house. The blind men came to him. And Jesus says unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touch ye their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it, but they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Do you believe Jesus is able to save you and change you, to make you to where once you don't want to be a fanatic for Jesus? You don't want to be a fool for Christ. Do you believe God can change your heart and change you to be the kind of person that's fitted for heaven? Are you staggering at the promise of God? Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God. He believed. He believed. May God give you grace to believe and enjoy the infinite ability of God to produce a paradise like you've never seen or even thought of or imagined in your heart. May God give you grace to turn away from your sins, hate it, and believe and trust in God, not just for salvation, but for service. Why is that so hard to understand? Somebody who's given you eternal life and saved you from hell, wouldn't that make you want to serve Him? God help us. That's what He does. We have ups and downs, yes. May God give us more ups now than downs. And refuse to listen to Satan. And live for God. May God bless you. My prayer.